This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson Sports Talk Show.
I'm not a huge Beyonce fan.
I don't really know her music that much, except when I was a boy or something.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sheebrick with a pass left corner, head open, three for the tie, good! Riley Head knocks down a three!
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Pyle dribbling in, and a one-handed jam! This place is rocking, and Pyle with 15 as he slams it down with authority!
Everything happening in the sports world.
Could be another one.
Here comes Jake with a left-handed jam! Boy, we're rolling here at the lineup!
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
Steve has a great feel for Lifetime movies, despite 5 minutes ago saying, I don't know what Lifetime movies are.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening online, worldwide, at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man in green, the man ready to get out of here for the weekend and go spend some time in I-Town.
I-Town.
S-E-K.
Southeast Kansas.
Mr. Steve Sell. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I got a feeling you got one more practice round left in
one
you today.
One practice round left in me, and I head out tomorrow. Got my Color of Money shirt on today. In fact, it's the 2015. They give us a really nice shirt, a Nike shirt every year. So I've got a collection of them, and it goes back. They used to give us hats, and now they've gone to shirts. So the big question is, what color is the shirt going to be this year? Because we've had pink, we've had lime green, we've had orange, we've had black, we've had maroon, we've had about every color you can imagine. So it'll be interesting to see what we get there.
What happens if you go out and shoot an 88 today in your final round before the tournament?
That's great. Because 1 year...
You'd feel good about that?
1 year... Well, I'm not going to shoot 88. I'll pick up before...
We'll see.
But 1 year before the city golf tournament, I went out to Rolling Acres and shot 65. And then the next day, I shot like 81 at the country club or something like that.
Well, it is true that if you go shoot an 88 today, you will have a better day tomorrow at the golf tournament.
The thing is, you can't follow up a great round... And our guest will tell you that it's hard to follow up a great round with another great round. And that was the best round I ever shot at any of the courses. I didn't have a bogey. I had like 7 birdies and no bogeys. And I should have known I was doomed. So, and then that same year at Rolling Acres, I remember when we finally got a play in the tournament, I shot like 34 and I'm thinking, hey, this is pretty good. Well, then I turned around and shot like 43 on the back. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned our guest. He's sitting in studio with us today. We've had him on before, so recurring guest of the According to Jim show, Mr. Treg Fall. Good afternoon.
How's it going today?
Have the greens recovered from the hail damage from a few weeks ago?
Actually, yeah, they've recovered pretty well. We actually had about 35 total volunteers, 35 to 40, and we knocked out. We all had our own little 5-foot zone, and we just kind of turtled across the green, all had our divot repair tools and fixed the hail damage. I think we started about 8:30 in the morning and got done about 4 o'clock. So we're very grateful for all those all of our members to come out and help.
It's too bad that wasn't the day of the big event at the high school. They could have sent about 200 kids out there
yeah.
with tools in hand.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can just take a golf tee and fix divots. I mean, you don't have to have special tools. You can fix a divot with a golf tee, but the big event would have come in handy.
Thing about that is, pretty particular about fixing ball marks. If you just pop them up and it's dead under there. You got to pull the grass together.
Right.
So we'd have had to do some special classes. I had to get back in my teaching mode to really show them. You got to pull the grass together. Don't just pop it up or that it'll die there. But
everyone did pretty good. I play every day and pretty much.
we didn't know that.
But there's really only a couple greens that are really 13.
Yeah,
is one of them. I want to say 8 is kind of suffering a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we did have that pump issue, so we actually spent, I was just with the maintenance crew. There was probably about 8 of us on one green. We took 147 plugs out on hole 11 this morning, and we're patching them in and repairing them. So we're slowly but surely plugging along. They were out to do number 9 when I was headed this way. So got some good help, and it's moving faster than it has been. So we're hoping we can get through all the greens hopefully by the end of July.
Yeah, because last year, in fact, I thought around September, October, in all the years I'd played out there, the greens were as good as they've ever been. So it was really unfortunate what happened, because the greens were just absolutely fantastic by the end. I always say the best time to play is in early October, because the greens are just perfect there.
Yeah, and Jason does a great job. You know, we're usually known for having perfect greens. It was just an unfortunate situation. But, you know, we live and learn, and we're working to get them back, and we're excited for the challenge and just seeing what we can do and get them back to normal. So.
Well, Treg, the reason we have you in studio today, we had you on before the Masters, and you were breaking down who's going to win. I don't think you picked Patrick Reed.
I picked Ricky Fowler. He was second.
That wasn't a bad pick.
Yeah.
But we've got you on to preview the upcoming U.S. Open at Shinnecock Golf Club in New York. You ever been there?
I've never been there.
I wouldn't think you have.
No.
What do you know about that course?
Well, just from seeing it, you know, obviously the U.S. Open has been held there quite a few times, and just looking at it on TV, and I remember watching it in 2004 a little bit with my dad and all that stuff, but U.S. Open's usually set up about the same. They're long, you know, the rough's thick, got to put it in the fairway. Greens are usually big, but they have small shelves on them where you still got to be precise. Hard, firm greens. I mean, it's USGA's most supposed to set up the course, you know. It's supposed to be as hard as possible, but not turn into, you know, unfair golf.
And the difference this year, it's in New York, where the fans are a little more...
The fans got on Sergio that one year, Bethpage, and the fans in New York are pretty ruthless sometimes, so it'll be...
A little different than your trip to Augusta?
Yeah, you know, when you went to Augusta, you're not supposed to even yell or anything.
You just kind of whisper, you kind of go, good shot.
Yep, good exactly. Shot. Stand up and applause.
You can't raise your voice real loud. If you say you're the man, you're out of there. You know, they don't let you do stuff like that at the Masters.
What do you think is going to be the new catchphrase of this weekend for the fans to scream? Baba Booey, mashed potatoes.
You know, those fans come up with some crazy stuff, so who knows? I'm sure there'll be something new that somebody says when Dustin Johnson or one of those big hitters hit one off the club face and it makes a loud noise. They'll probably come up with something, I'm sure. So,
well, I got an update on my phone earlier today that was saying, here's the favorites for the U.S. Open. Despite a lot of money coming in on Ricky Fowler, people are feeling good about him this week. I think the favorite in a lot of people's minds in golf is Dustin Johnson. But you mentioned that winning two weekends in a row on the PGA Tour is not something that's very easy to do.
No, it's not at all. Like Steve was saying, it's hard to even follow up a great round with another great round. Dustin Johnson is one of those golfers. If he's on and he's got it rolling, he is very tough to beat. But, you know, coming off a win, you're feeling really good, and you go to U.S. Open, you're going to struggle on some holes, and it's all about how you react with that. There are a lot of favorites on here. I'd probably put Dustin Johnson as the favorite right now. But, you know, there's so many guys, a lot of things can happen. It's all about your mindset when you get to a course like this, because some of the guys, I think Brandel Chamblee was saying, he goes, he walks out there and he's walking around seeing the players, there's already 30-40% of the field that he thinks does not have a chance, because it's just their mind is just messed up. So yep, they're just mind blown. So
the guy that I think I like this weekend is Justin Thomas. He's been lurking. He's been so close a lot of times. Did he win TPC or something recently?
The
thing I like about him is he just got bumped from that number one world golf ranking.
Yeah,
which kind of makes me think he's got something to prove this weekend.
Yeah, he had it for what, 2 or 3 weeks, and Dustin Johnson just won and took it back from him. But yeah, actually Jason Buschbaum picked him to win. He's a smart guy. Yeah, so we'll see. I'm not picking Justin Thomas to win, but I think he's got a good shot. You know, he's younger. He hasn't played in that many U.S. Opens yet. I think this will be his third one, and it's U.S. Opens are just a little different, beast. And I think it's going to take somebody that's got the power, some, you know, been around a few, and really is precise with their irons.
I'm gonna go with a guy that hasn't been around a long time.
Well, I thought you were going to say Tiger.
No.
And we're not picking Tiger this week.
But I think he's got the attitude, and I think he'll feed off the crowd because they're going to be against him, and that's John Rahm.
Yeah,
I think
John Rahm has got a chance. He's got the power. You know, he was pretty close in the Masters. You know, he was kind of right there. But I just think he's due.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a young guy. What is he, 22, 23 years old?
I think he's just
old.
A little younger than me.
Yeah, but I just think he's got a great mindset.
Yep, he's got the game definitely. You know, he puts it in the fairway and he hits it far, and he's got a great putting stroke. Thing is with him again is just, you know,
he's got experience, temper.
Yep, experience with the U.S. Open. You get frustrated. He does have a temper, but he can kind of go into that villain role, and I could see him doing well. So
the guy I haven't heard very many people talk about in terms of the U.S. Open coming up this weekend, Brooks Koepka. Maybe it's because he wasn't in the Masters field. He was like the only one in the top 50.
He's been hurt a little bit.
And so he's listed as the number 9, but I haven't really heard anybody talk about him.
Yeah, he had wrist surgery, so he didn't play in the Masters. But he's played the last, I think he's played 4 or 5 tournaments leading up to this. He's made the cut in every one. He's been lurking. He's been right there. He's actually in my top 3. You know, he just gets up there and pounds the ball. He's got great touch around the green, got a great putting stroke, and he's really trending the right direction. So I think he'll be in the mix on Sunday. I don't know if he'll win, but I think he'll be right there in the mix.
And one of the things in the U.S. Open I always have found interesting, the first day, there's just some guy that comes out of the blue. Like, I see a name on here as a guy that after the first day might be in the top 3 and no one expect it. Ollie Schneiderjans.
Yeah.
You know, you just always find some guy that the main thing is because they just don't think they have any kind of chance. They go out there and they're loose and they go out and shoot like a 67 or something like that. I could see somebody like him, like a Danny Lee. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always some guy that you're like, who is that guy?
Sung Soo Han.
Yeah.
Who's listed as 91.
Yeah, but there's always some guy the first day that's right up there in the leaderboard. And then they realize, uh-oh, look where I'm at. And then the pressure it's like a vice around their neck.
Yeah, my two sleepers I have picked are, you know, Kyle Stanley. He's been playing well this year. Not too many people talk about him at all, but he's known for ball striking. I think he's going to put it in the fairway. He's got great iron play. I think he can get it close enough, aim middle of the greens. Then the other one is a guy named Emiliano Grillo.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who he is. But he's kind of got the same kind of game as Kyle Stanley. Both of them kind of struggle with the putting, but I think they're going to hit the ball well enough. Well, you'll see them pop up on the leaderboard and maybe surprise us. Those are my two sleepers. So
I'm doing another weekend pool for a golf tournament. You hosted the Masters pool last time.
I did.
And who won?
You did.
Yeah, there you go. I have to brag a little bit. I let some Steve brag about his golf.
Some idiot took Tiger. And if he had taken anybody but Tiger, well, that was me too. Yeah. If I'd taken anybody but Tiger, you know, there's these tiers. If I would have taken anybody but Tiger, I think I might have been right there with you, because that's the only thing that kept me. I had Fowler. I had Patrick Reed. I had somebody else that was in the top 6 or 7.
I think you picked John Rahm,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I can't remember. No, I didn't have John Rahm. And that's I was kicking myself because I had it between Tiger and John Rahm. And I said, John Rahm's not ready yet. So I drank the Kool-Aid.
Trey, is there any chance there's some Tiger roars this weekend?
There's definitely a
Is
chance.
There any chance he's going to do anything? I don't want to talk about him too much because
the thing
I don't
Tiger,
have any faith
the thing I've
him.
Noticed with Tiger is he's got it. I mean, you can see it. He's shown stretches. You know, he shot 64 or 65 at Florida TPC Sawgrass. Yeah. You know, he's got it. The thing that gets to him that I'm seeing so far is when he's behind or he's got, you know, a free run at it, he plays really well. And then as soon as he gets towards the lead, is when he hasn't been there for a while, so I think he just kind of gets out of sync a little bit. But if he can figure that out, you know, when no pressure's on, you know, it's a Thursday or Friday in a regular tournament,
I think
he gets
it
going.
He's got the championship iron game right now.
Yeah,
it's just he's so wild with the driver.
Yeah.
And at the U.S. Open, if you're wild with the driver, it is penal because the rough will be about 6 inches. It'll be up over your ankles like – where I always play from, it seems like.
Yep, at TPC, he led the field in strokes gained, tee to green, and iron play. He was 119th in putting. And his putting started out good, and now but they're playing on Poiana greens this week. And everybody knows the best putter in the world to ever putt on Poiana greens is Tiger Woods. So
used to be there, Jack.
Yep, there is an outside chance. If he can hit it like he did at TPC and putt better, he could be right there and we can hear some roars. I hope he's there. It makes it better for you know, more people like to get out and golf when Tiger's towards the top.
A lot of red shirts out at Turkey Creek.
I like your red shirt you're wearing right
exactly.
there.
Exactly. Well, a little different.
Yeah, we had our red shirts out in force on Sunday for our match, so everybody was in red, I think.
Yep.
We're joined in studio today by Turkey Creek Golf Course's Treg Fall. Treg, when we come back, you're a sports savant, so we'll talk about a couple of other sports topics, and then we'll get a little preview for the City Golf Tournament coming up here in about a week. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening on the internet, midkansasonline.com. We're joined in studio today by Turkey Creek Golf Course's Treg Fall. Now, Treg is not just a man of golf, even though we bring him in here as our golf expert. Steve and I sometimes need experts. We don't know what we're doing.
I never know.
But Treg is also a big-time basketball guy. We got Coach Kinnaman's input on the NBA Finals last week when he was here. What were your overall takeaways from the Finals, the playoffs itself? What were you thinking as everything came to a close last Friday?
Well, I was pretty surprised that the Warriors struggled as much as they did against the Rockets. I thought it was a given that the Warriors would roll over everybody and beat them. You know, when you got
Iguodala made a big difference being out in that series.
Yeah, he did. You know, when you have the three best shooters in the planet on the same team, they all can get their own shot, all good in pick and rolls. I mean, they're just impossible to guard. I mean, so I was very pleased when I was watching that Houston-Golden State series, and Houston gave them all they could. And I think if Chris Paul was healthy, it could have been a different story. But the finals kind of went how I thought it would.
Pancake. Flat.
I thought if Cleveland would have won the first game, they could have got it to 6 or 7, maybe.
That's what I told Steve, and he said, no way, 5.
But
I think they could have won it if they won that
first
game.
I don't think
game.
They would have won. I think they would have got it to 6, possibly 7, but that was just, you could see as soon as how that game went and how they ended up losing, you could just see on LeBron's face, you could see on Ty Lue's press conference after the game that they were going to get swept.
And then LeBron broke his hand that we didn't know it at the time, but he was mad, so he broke his hand. And to do what he did with a broken hand, what does that tell you about him? Because he was still putting up big numbers.
Yeah, he's
it's like the most significant injury he's ever had in his career.
Yeah, he's a once-in-a-lifetime athlete, that's for sure. But
so now, the looming question is for next year, where is LeBron going to be playing? Do you have a thought early on? I have two.
Yeah, you know, with LeBron, he's so tight-knit with his family and his boys and his wife. And, you know, I've been hearing rumors that he's going to do what's best for his family, which, in my mind, if he wants to win and compete with the Golden State Warriors, he needs to probably go to either the Celtics or the Rockets, which I don't know how he's going to go the Rockets because Chris Paul is asking for a max deal. They're just not going to have the money. But I've heard rumors that his son might sign with some school in L.A. for high school. And, you know, you go to L.A., he'll be the big time and all that, but I don't know if they'll have a chance to win. I just don't see him winning. If he wants to win, he's got, you know, the Celtics are the team set up with the young guys around that can guard with him. With
the thing
his
is, they've got so many guys that are like him, though.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. I mean, I guess all three of them could play. And then if you had one big man, that'd be an interesting team with, you know, three wing guys and a big guy and then whoever they'd get for point guard. If it'd be
Shemmy would probably get shipped off for some big-time money.
Yeah, Shemmy. I don't – late. You know, the only reason he'd go to the Lakers is just to set up his post-basketball career.
That's kind of what I think.
They have no chance.
No.
Though Swaggy would probably want to go back to L.A. than if LeBron was there. He'd probably leave Golden State.
What about Big Baller and LeBron?
Well,
that'd be quite the combo.
Well, right now, Lonzo is having knee problems.
Oh, sure.
And they're worried that it may end up being chronic. So they're injecting things in his knee and stuff. And I'm not sold on him being a big – he's a good passer, but he can't shoot. Can't guard. He's not very physical.
Yeah, the thing with them is if LeBron's on that team, Lonzo can't play because they're just going to sag and help in the lane on LeBron, and that's not a good combo. That's why I don't think the 76ers would work that great.
I don't like that either.
Ben Simmons and LeBron are pretty much the same.
I just don't think LeBron and Philadelphia, it just doesn't seem like a good match to me.
No.
It really doesn't. I mean, they'd have Redick, though, to shoot. Boy, just think what J.J. Redick could lead the league in scoring with everyone collapsing on LeBron because Ben Simmons can't shoot. I mean, all his points are either drives.
No, he literally can't shoot.
He just cannot shoot. Somehow he scores 15 points a game, and he can't shoot outside of 2 feet. He's kind of like a Doka Azubuike who can't score outside of about 3 feet. But it'll be very interesting to see. You know, being a family guy, the tug of home might just keep him with Cleveland, but what might happen is he might say, I'll stay, but you have got to get me some pieces around me.
That's what I think.
They have just got a bunch of ham and eggers around them.
I think he's either going to stay in Cleveland, and they're going to have to bring somebody in, or he's going to go to L.A. Those are the two things that I think is going to happen. So we'll see. I hope, you know, I'd like to see him go to the Celtics. I've always been a Paul Pierce fan, you know, and Brad Stevens, in my opinion, is the best. Him and Greg Popovich are the two best coaches.
And he didn't get one vote for Coach of the Year,
which is
crazy. Absolutely nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get to see the final score? Speaking of Udoka Azubuike and KU, did you get to see the final score of that USA under
28
game
or something?
With Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Bill Self, Quentin Grimes.
Bill Self was getting criticized. Some woman says, that's just not very nice, Coach.
It was like 80-9 at one point. You know.
I texted Steve at the end of the first quarter. It was 43-0. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes is going to be very good next year for
KU. He can play.
And then maybe in 2 years, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. You've watched a lot of him on game tape because you were kind of in charge of the Bishop Miege scouting report. Do you think he's going to be a KU Jayhawk in 2 years?
You know, I've heard either KU or North Carolina. You know, when you get invited top 12 in the nation, you pretty much can go wherever you want. So.
The other big question is, he going to be a Miege Stag next year? Because the rumors are floating around that he might go to IMG where DeSosa was at.
Yep, you get that kind of looks. That's when everybody, you know, those bigger, they start calling you and saying, hey, come up here, and, you know, then you can go off to wherever college you want next year. Well, all basketball
all the time. He's won 3 state championships. I mean, he really doesn't have a whole lot more to prove at Miege. And, you know, they're going to lose – again, they lose some guys. They'll lose Lopes off this year's team. Of course, I don't know if they'll be 5A next year or not. I don't know where they are in the pecking order. We know we're 5A, but we don't know for sure. They're
on the border.
If they're 5A, they're going to be like the smallest 5A, which, of course, means nothing for them. That just means they'll go out and get –
they were the best – probably the second best team – in all the classes last year. Blue Valley North?
Northwest.
Northwest.
Yeah.
They were very good.
Ed Fritz's team.
Yeah, they were pretty darn good this last year. So it won't matter to them if they're 4 or 5A. They'll still be at the top. So.
Right.
Let's take our final break. When we come back, we will preview the upcoming City Golf Tournament, where Steve is going to try to knock off the other man sitting in the room here for that city title. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. We're joined again in studio by Turkey Creek Golf Course's Treg Fall. Well, the big event coming up there, coming up next weekend, the City Golf Tournament. And for those of you that aren't familiar with the format, that's the Sunday version of the round. Friday up at the Country Club, Saturday at Rolling Acres, and then capping things off on Sunday. Three rounds at Turkey Creek.
35th annual.
How many of those have you played in?
34.
I'm not too surprised. How many titles have you won, Steve?
None. Well, I've won two. I've won.
You've won a team title?
I've won like 3 or 4 team titles. But I've been in the individual, I was actually second 3 times. If I would have just bogeyed number 1 at the Country Club on a Sunday 1 year, I would have won it. Didn't know it at the time. But that was my last hole. And if I just bogey number one, but I drove it right up against a tree, had to take an unplayable, knocked it on and three putted, didn't. And the third putt I had was like a foot, and I was just disgusted because I missed it. And I went up, did what you're not supposed to do, just tap it in, and I went off the edge of my club, and I missed it.
Uh-oh.
Turned out I had to play the late Ray Hague in a playoff, and Ray was done messing around. He said, I shouldn't even be in a playoff. And he knocked it up there like 2 feet or something like that.
How many titles has Trek won?
I know he's won 7 individual. I can't remember a team.
It's, how many in a row?
Well, he got interrupted 1 year. Jacob Lackey won it 1 year.
Well, he's not bad.
But Trek had won it. I want to say Trek won 5 in a row at one point. Did you win 5 in a row?
I think that's what it was.
Five in a row, then Jake won, and then you won. So, it's not like the old days where it was kind of a mystery who would win. It was either, well, I shouldn't say that either. Ray pretty much dominated. Trek's closing in on the late Ray Hague for most individuals. Ray, I believe, won 9 individuals. And he won like 11 teams with like 9 different guys. Ray always say, why don't you and I play together? Well, I always played with the same guy every year. And he said, he says, you need a major. You need another major title. I said, well, you know, because Ray always referred to it as a major. One of the McPherson majors, like back when we used to have the country club tournament, that was a major. Then the city, then the 2-man, you know, we had stuff like that. Then the club tournament. So, that tournament, it was interesting how it started. Because in 1982, we used to have what was called, there used to be the McPherson County Tournament, and it was with Rolling Acres, Lindsborg, and the Country Club. Well, I think it was the Country Club was supposed to host in 83, and they didn't do it. They had something else going on, then we just kind of didn't host it. So the next year, Harvey Nelson and I got together. We said, well, let's start just a city tournament and say if you're a member of one of the clubs, even, you know, a lot of Lindsborg guys play at the Country Club.
Yeah.
So we said, you know, if you're a member of a McPherson City resident or a member of one of the clubs, you could play. And there was a stretch in the early 90s where we opened it up and we took the first 88 players. It was full within 2 days. Now, those days are long gone. We get about, we're 60-ish, somewhere. We've been in the 80s. But, man, there was a time where guys were waiting out the door at Turkey Creek for whoever was working that day to come in so they could sign up. So it was really interesting. But there's a lot more things people do now, so they're not quite as interested, but it's a lot of fun. It's a great tournament.
Treg, tell them where they can sign up, what they have to do.
All you have to do to sign up is go into the Turkey Creek Golf Course Clubhouse, and the person working there knows how to get you all signed up. Just got to fill out a few things, and then it is $80 a person to play
in
both of them, both the individual and team. So if you have another partner, it's just $80 a person, and you guys are good to go. You just got to figure out if you want to play in the morning or afternoon on Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday is all based off your score.
And so, really, almost everybody gets a partner because it's kind of a fun thing to do. It's an individual and two-man. I think we've only had the most individuals we've ever had in a year not play as a partner was 2.
Yeah.
And we end up putting those guys together for pairing purposes, so it all worked out. So if you're going to play, get a buddy, play with them, you know, and have some fun. And
lose to Treg?
Yeah, and lose to Treg. The Saturday round is always at Rolling Acres. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
So we have 2 sessions because it's a 9-hole course, and then we flip-flop every year. The Country Club this year is the first round. Next year it'll be the final round because they got the veranda that, you know, people watch the leaders come in on 18. There's a lot of heckling that goes on. People get snarky sometimes.
I'm not surprised that you're the snarky one.
I get heckled, though. So
I'm not surprised about that either.
I get heckled all the time.
Treg, have you gone up to the Country Club to scout it out yet, or are you going to do that next week?
I don't know if I will. I've played that course so many times. I used to play Rolling Acres one time before, but I don't do that anymore. The thing I love about this tournament is all 3 courses are completely different than the other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Country Club. You know, you got the undulation up and down and the small greens just faster than
lightning,
you know,
yeah.
On Sunday especially. Thank goodness that's Friday, so it won't probably be as fast. But then Rolling Acres, you know.
Bomber's course.
Yep, dry, just hit it, let it roll. Rolling Acres, right?
Yeah,
and then Turkey Creek, you know, you got to be a little more precise off the tee sometimes. It's got a little different look. Greens, you know, are a little bit bigger than the other two. So it's fun. Test of golf, 3 different courses. I enjoy playing with a lot with my dad, so it's a good time.
All right, Treg, before you get out of here, your U.S. Open pick, your prediction, who is going to be hoisting the trophy at the end of this weekend?
Well, I've had a lot of back and forth on this. You know, I was thinking DJ, maybe Koepka. you know, maybe it's Rory's week, but I came down to one name, and I think he's going to do it. He's only has one major so far, and he's always lurking in these big tournaments. He's won twice this year so far. I think Jason Day is going to win the U.S. Open this year.
I'm going John Rahm. I just think John Rahm, his time, he's going to be like one of the youngest U.S. Open champions of all time. I think, is Spieth the youngest or Tiger? I can't remember which one it is. But
I think
Tiger might be, but I'm going to go John Rahm.
Justin Thomas.
Okay.
That's my bold pick. Treg, we enjoyed having you on. Once we get a little closer to the football season, we'll get an Oakland Raiders preview from
you. Awesome. I cannot wait.
Yeah. John Gruden, greatest coach of all time.
Exactly.
Best record of all time.
Greatest coach in his own mind. So.
All right. We'll wrap things up, Steve. Enjoy your trip to I-Town.
Yeah.
Tomorrow on the show, Casey will be here.
Casey.
Remember our list? Talk about
Casey Sunshine.
You remember our list?
No.
One hit wonders.
That'd be like me winning the city golf tournament.
Though. That's true.
But you have to remember, I'm 61 years old. I don't think
you'd have to retire after that. No more golf for Steve. We wrap things up. For Treg Fall, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union and Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.